All right, let's have a word of prayer. Would you bless us here, Lord? We're thankful for these ladies, and Lord, each of these times are very strategic, and would your spirit enable us here to do what you would have us to do in dealing with truth? We thank you for the material that we have. Would you give your grace now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to deal with an addiction. Worry. Anybody have a problem with the worry? You don't have to raise your hand, but probably everybody has some degree of problem with it. But it can be for some people a major addiction. It is the default position of emotions when a difficulty arises, or if there are duties that have to be accomplished, and so it is a it's a big deal. Our writer said that she has been a worrywart from way back. In fact, she said she could have been president of the Worrywart, International Worrywart Society. So she waxes quite eloquent in her chapter here. And so we're going to look at this, because what happens, folks, is you've got to understand that worry and anxiety will eventually tear you down. You cannot get away with doing it just on and on. And what will occur is that you will potentially get depressed. You'll start focusing on one thing that just is overpowering you, and you begin to become obsessed with it. And that's somewhat of an escape from all the anxiety. Depression is an escape from pressures. It's sort of a shutting down and having that sense of sadness and all, and you're just sort of living in that. For women, however, it normally goes to excessive fears. Irrational fears are what a lot of ladies have. Men are the ones that primarily deal with depression. Women deal more with fears. And the reason for that is God made you to be a helpmeet, and so therefore relationship and security in relationship is very vital for you. See, a man was made to have dominion over the earth and to accomplish God's purposes, and when he feels like he's failing, then what's the use to live? You know, he gets depressed. For a woman, her sense of purpose, success, and identity is in relationship. And so all the worrying can lead to fears that are beyond what what are reasonable, and we're great worry about children, about their own health, worry about economics, and all these things may have very real issues to them, but it's just an obsession. And it gets, a lot of women will get to worrying about their husband and even his fidelity, when it's actually a very good man and there's no issue. But that's how serious anxiety can, that how serious fears can be that anxiety leads to get you out of proportion in how you think. So you don't even want to go there. Go with me to Philippians 4. This is the passage that she uses here, and of course one that we automatically go to. The Apostle Paul, if anybody had something to worry about, it was him. He was in prison in Rome, and that was not a fun place to be. And yet, the book of Philippians deals with joy, rejoicing more than any other book in the entire Bible. It's just and it's heartening looking what Christ did for us, his humility on our behalf, and it's just a wonderful book. And then we read verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's, by the way, a command. It's our choice to rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand, and here we are. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we have another command. We are not to be anxious about anything. Now, it doesn't mean that we aren't going to have periods of anxiety, because things happen and we respond. It's the idea of ongoing anxiety. There should be nothing in your life that is controlling you and setting you at an uneasy place in your life. Anxiety, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but anxiety obviously is worry about things. But deep-set anxiety is this constant, uneasy feel that things are not right. You're not at peace. You don't feel like you're getting all that you need to done. And of course, for a mother or a wife, you never get everything done. You know, that's just the way it is. But you just feel like, you know, if you ask a person who's filled with anxiety, what is it that they're worried about? They can't even come up with it at the moment. Well, I just have. You know, it's just sort of a lots of stuff type of a feeling. But that's really dangerous to have that. And so what are we to do with all the points of worry and anxiety in our life? Well, it says everything take to God. Now, there's a very big help in that perspective. I have found that when people are filled with anxiety and maybe struggling with depression or fears, if I can get them to actually sit down, and it'll take them a while but to sort things out, but write down all the pressure points in their life in which they're just concerned. I mean, they're feeling like a failure, or they're not getting it done, or things that they got to do. And if they'll write all those things down, just the act of doing that will help right away, because you start looking at it. And I say, do it all on one sheet of paper on one side so you can just see it all at one time. And you begin to realize, yeah, it's a lot of stuff, but it's not as big as I've made it. Then that list is to be brought to the Lord in prayer. And you start casting your burden upon Him, casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's that same concept of anxiety found in 1 Peter chapter 5. You will find that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will start coming into your life. Peace of God is God's peace. It's not your tranquility because everything's done. Now, everybody hear me on that? God's peace is not based upon circumstances all being solved. It's because you're trusting the Lord, you have given everything to Him, He gives you the peace that He has on the throne. He's got things in control. Jesus said, I will give you my peace. And so the peace of God will come into your life, and it passeth all understanding. It's not human. In other words, not based upon things going well. It's not based on things being in order. It's based upon it's God and His security. And it's something you don't understand until you've had it. It's great peace when a tragedy has happened. It's great peace when you hear a bad report. It's great peace that takes over when you're struggling. And what I love here is that that the peace, God will keep that peace, keep your hearts and minds. The peace of God, when you've taken everything to Him, that's a military term of guarding a city. And so it's a garrison of soldiers, their whole purpose there, their camp there to protect the city. And so the city can go to sleep at night secure, and that's the idea that God guards our peace. And it doesn't matter what circumstances come. When you're trusting the Lord, God will keep that peace in your life, and it's in the full relationship of being in Christ Jesus. I could spend a whole hour just on that, those verses. So we need to understand that God says you don't have to worry. And it's not because you got everything under control, it's that you don't have to worry. You have a God that cares. We are weak. We have things that we're not the strongest in. We have at times crises that come, inevitable. We talked there in Romans chapter 8 on Sunday morning. We're in a cursed position here on our earth. Those things are going to happen. But the peace of God is chosen because you've yielded to the Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is peace. He will give you His peace, and He'll start giving you wisdom how to handle all these situations. Really, one of the great joys of life is in a day that's really hard-pressed, and maybe you've got some things that are really concerning you, but you're working from the foundation of peace. In other words, it doesn't take away the quality of your day. I mean, every day should be a good day. See, if you keep thinking, when I get all of this done, I can be happy, oh boy, you're going to have very little happiness because there's going to be more stuff the next day, right? And the next day. And even tremendous priority planning, which really helps in all of this, that in itself won't give you peace. What will give you peace is genuinely letting the Spirit of God have control in your life. So that's very important. All right. Well, let's look at worry here. She says, worrying is something we love to do. Except, I mean, women especially. I don't know, you can answer that. But all kinds of things they worry about. And so she mentions that we're not to be anxious about anything. And here's some definitions that she had regarding the verb worry. To feel uneasy, troubled. Remember I said that uneasiness that's in your life. To be overcome with a nagging concern. To be plagued with doubts. By the way, this is where insecurity comes in. If you are not solid in your relationship with the Lord, if you are trying to prove yourself and trying to get approval from others, you're going to have worry. But if you realize who you are in Christ and that your standing is in Him and you can't do anything that's worthwhile in your own power anyway, it changes everything. So a lot of worry comes because of self-focus. In the biblical sense, worry means to have a sinful, willful distraction that pulls your trust away from God. In a personal sense, it means to have an anxiety that you need to unload to God. So that is all very, very good. And so this is a very real problem that we all face. And when Satan can get us to just live with worry, we're pretty much stripped of power. We're pretty much debilitated in having the full wisdom that we need to do what we ought to do for the Lord. We're self-focused and we're irritable. We don't react right. We are not optimistic. We are negative. These are all things that are not positive qualities. And so that's why the Bible says you're commanded, do not live with worry. You'll have momentary worry, but just don't let it overcome you. There probably is not a day that I don't go by that when you're working with people, you're going to have something to worry about. And something will come along, and I have to make the decision to be concerned, burdened, and figure out what to do, but I don't need to let that. I mean, that God's going to work. And you get that deep peace when you do that. And so the list here of why not to worry. Worry is a response to do something, is a response to something that is going on in a person's life. Worry is a condition produced when no solution is seen. Worry is an activity generated by what seems to be limited options. Worry is an action that has no legitimate basis. Worry is a condition that affects everyone. Worry is a reaction that produces no positive results. Worry is a sin that denies the power of God, and that's the biggie. Worry is positive only where sin is involved. So it is, worry is never a good thing. Now, concern that the Holy Spirit gives you and burden, sometimes a broken heart, but that ought to be from the foundation of peace that's supernatural. There are a lot of things to worry about with rearing your children. If you have kids in your home, absolutely. But it's not going to do you any good to be worrying about it. What you have to do is have that walk with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Ask God for wisdom and then be proactive in figuring out, what am I going to do about these issues I'm burdened about? And that position of strength where your children see you optimistic, at peace with God, not frustrated, not angry, you're going to be in a much more solid position to be able to meet their needs. Well, I think everybody here, we would all agree, we'd like to break the habit and once for all, but it is going to be a constant battle because there's lots of things in our life. And so we need to decide to see this happen. And so if it's a command, then we need to obey it. Now, first of all, we need to understand, if we're a believer, who indwells us? The Holy Spirit, and He manifests Christ in the Father. Well, I'm telling you, that just changes everything. Do you realize when all of a sudden you feel this pressure about what you need to do or a problem that you're facing, that you're not alone? And that's a reality. I cannot encourage you enough to spend a major time with God every morning, because if you do that and you stay in a solid relationship with the Lord, you are going to have an awareness of the Spirit of God who communes with you and who comforts you and will meet your need, and He'll give you peace. And you can talk to God. You know, when you're facing something and it's really hurting, don't you love to talk to somebody that cares and understands it? You know, you have to talk. You almost sometimes you just must talk. Well, at times, the worry that you have is not even something that someone else will understand, but God understands. And that's the beauty. 24/7, you can talk to Him. And you've got the Holy Spirit ready to commune with you in your heart. And so you have this personal relationship. You're not alone. You know, as a child, I was scared a lot of times of being alone, and then my dad would show up and no problem anymore. I could beat the world, you know, Dad was there. Well, Dad is there, if I can use the term reverentially. He's with you. The Father is with you. You are okay. You're not alone in this. God's going to turn this for good. This may be hard. You may have some things to go through, but it's okay. The quality of your life doesn't have to be affected. Your peace doesn't have to be taken away. You can actually have some very quality things happen. During some of the greatest crises that I faced in my life, I look at some of the sweetest and best times I've ever had in my life. And certainly wouldn't want to go through those again. But I'm telling you, when you've got God, you've got everything. And then God does things for you. And you begin to realize what life is about. So it's very important to understand that He is with you. And so there has to be the decision that when I start to worry, I've got to go to the Lord with everything. Get that list. Don't let that uneasy anxiety be there that, you know, I'm just not doing well. No. What is it? These are legitimate things that are bothering. Get them down. Write them down. Talk to God about it. Start getting some action points. And let the peace of God through that whole time keep your heart and mind. I remember at a very, very difficult time, I was reading the book, by Smith? Can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, it was right in an excruciating time, having to make some decisions, and got to a part in the book about this very thing. And it just, the overwhelming, it's like you're on 10 vacations at one time, you know, the best way to explain it. Just a total, of course, God's with me. He will never let me down, and He will give me wisdom. This will work for good. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. Remember, when you are filled with worry, you are filled with self. When you have the peace of God, you're filled with God. And there's a big difference between those two. So it's very important. Turn with me to Matthew 6:25, if you would. Matthew 6, verse 25. All right. Very well-known part of the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord. Dealing a lot here with material needs and, treasure and so forth. And then it says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now the Lord basically is saying here, don't worry about these things. Don't have negative thoughts about them. Doesn't your Heavenly Father know your need? But the key here is not life more important than issues such as what we wear and what we have and our money and so forth? Isn't there much more meaning to life than all these details we have to get done? That project in your house, all of the paperwork you got to do these days for everything we're involved in, you know, just so much stuff that we have to do. But life's a lot more than that. To allow yourself to not have that wellspring of life coming up because you are letting all these things bother you is a tragedy. And that's what he's trying to say. Your Father's going to take care of you on that. You know, He takes care of the fowls of the air. Don't worry. He'll give you what you need. What is important is the quality of spiritual life that allows you to function as God wants you to function. And so that's very important, because worry is basically saying God can't help me. You know, you have a good time with God in the morning, and it's a serious time, and you're rejoicing in the Lord, and you got oodles of stuff to do. I found out that with a basic plan and God giving me wisdom, when I'm walking with the Lord, I get 10 times as much done. But if I'm worrying and grousing about things and just not, you know, I'm just weighed down, man, I can't get anything done. You know, it's just what I get done is not the most important things. And a person that has that quality of life, the peace of God and the joy and just not letting the circumstances get them, will become very productive. And you'll be able to get a lot of these issues done. Plus, did you know God just will answer prayer on little things? He'll give you just things that you're burdened about. All of a sudden, He makes something happen. I've just seen all kinds of stuff that the Lord has done. I ought to keep a record of all of it, where He just does little things, but He's just there. And He's there again. He made that happen. Well, that worked out. Well, that's amazing that happened. And they're not big. It's almost so small you don't give a testimony about something like that. But He will intervene and intersect your life on a regular basis if you're trusting Him. He can quicken your mind. How many times have you had where you couldn't find something and it occurs you to pray about it? Then all of a sudden, there it is. You know, that happens all the time. Now, why in here I spend a half hour worrying and being fuming about this thing? I'm going to have to call to get another, you know, and why didn't I get that filed? And the Lord said, you know, I know where it is. Okay. And then you get an idea, and all of a sudden, a place you wouldn't have even thought of there. That's happened to me multiple times. And, you know, a simple little thing like that, you just go rejoicing. You think, you know, this is so dumb to get all boggled up with all I've got to do. You know, and by the way, those of you that have little children, when you're happy and not worrying, your kids behave a whole lot better. A little song on the heart, even singing, and you got a smile, and even when they do something or things happen, you're just, you got peace and you're excited, they'll all respond better. You know, the old saying, if a mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. Well, it's the truth, I'm telling you. I ain't a mom, so I know. And so it is amazing. The atmosphere of the home comes from the woman or the women in the home. And we really do need to believe that. And the disciples were going to face some major things. And it would be quite challenging for them in the days ahead. And they needed to learn to overcome that. Now, let me say this from a practical human standpoint. Habits are not easy to change. I started off by saying this is a habit. You are wired in your brain. Some here, maybe more than others, just have the predisposition to worry. And it's just the way it has been. I mean, and you're very conscientious. I won't ask you to raise hands, but do we have any perfectionists in here? Okay, we have somebody willing to admit it. You probably have to fight worrying because you are concerned. That's not in place. That's got to happen. That's got to be on time. You know, da 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 da. And so we can get in the habit of worrying. Now, just like other habits, you have to break them. You break them, first of all, by replacing what's wrong with something that's good. In other words, peace of God is a whole lot better than worrying. So all of that I've been talking about. But, you know, you got to make a conscious effort. And it's been said, and I believe it's true, if you want to break a habit, it takes 3 weeks of just very clearly focusing on it, being very brutal with yourself. Let's say you're trying to any kind of habit you're trying to break. If you will be totally unrelenting and not make any exception for 3 weeks, and then for the next 3 months stay right on it, have accountability, you probably will come up with a new habit. Now, obviously, the Spirit of God changes things, and there's a lot more dynamics. That's just sort of a rule of thumb that we often mention. But, you know, with worry, you need to decide, you know, I'm not going to have any less things to worry about. I may even have more, but Lord, would you help me? And I'm going to maybe have a friend or a spouse or someone, if you know that worry is a problem, and talk it through, and then have it report in each day, how are you doing? When the worry came up, you turned to the Lord. You kept your list there. You gave everything to the Lord. You just decided to have peace and joy by the grace of God. And if you can consciously counteract that for days on end, you'll develop the habit, the replacement habit of the counteraction. Any kind of mental perspective, the way you get over any problem of wrong thinking is to acknowledge it as wrong thinking and counteract it immediately once you're aware of it. So the minute worry comes up, you know what to do with it. And it doesn't mean that you'll ever be free from worry coming up. I mean, we're going to have it. But you don't accept it as something I now have to wallow in. I won't do it. You know, I'm going to come up with a plan. I'm just going to ask God for his peace. I'm going to talk to somebody if I need to, but I am not going to allow this to be in control of my life. And if you will work on that, you really can break that habit. And the big thing is listed in this chapter that we talked about at the beginning is everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And I'll end on that part. I may finish this chapter out next time. But when you're thankful for the hard things, that changes a lot. Lord, this pressure, this thing that I'm concerned about, I know you're teaching me to trust you, and I want to thank you. I don't want to be bitter about this. So prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something that's very important. In your prayer time, you need to have thanksgiving. And thank God for the things that aren't easy, because God's going to use them for good. And honestly, when you believe that, when you believe that every trial God will use, then you have nothing bad in life. You have nothing to worry about. I've never had a trial that God hasn't used for good. So even though I may not like the trial, and it may hurt, it's always going to end up for good. So I honestly don't have anything to worry about.